Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Do you hear that?
Yes, I do.
Good.
What is it?
Reached a point in my life where lunch meat is not for a sandwich, it's a snack food.
Oh, you've never been there before?
No, I've been there. I'm back.
What? No, like, why do you want to fuck with bread? You know?
I don't want
to. No, you shouldn't.
Unless it's warm.
Okay. Like if it is fresh baked bread that you have made on your own, it's perfectly fine. However, I feel like grabbing some turkey and eating it is a perfectly acceptable thing to do. I don't think you have to reach a point. I think that you're, like, it's not a point in your life. You haven't let go. You just acknowledge that, you know, you don't need such fineries as bread or cheese. Just give me what I want. Right?
Go ahead, leave, bitch. I don't need your bread.
Do you know what else is rising? The rent. I cannot pay for bread. Go.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
I was trying to make reference to the fact that bread rises like yeast, but I don't know. I feel like I missed it. I feel like I missed the mark. I think, yeah.
Not the chaff.
What?
The wheat and the chaff?
Well, I was referring specifically to the rising action of yeast, but
you have to mix it with something, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think
you need sugar to.
Well, no, that's why they only sell it in Amish country. It's because that's all they know how to. That's the only way they can fly. It's because yeast always rises. They have these hot air balloons that are just full of yeast.
If I was Amish, I sure as shit wouldn't be riding a wagon.
What do you mean?
Put on my yeast belt.
With your what?
I put on my yeast belt so I could fly.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I guess I was just trying to picture an Amish jetpack, and you beat me to it. Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
No clue.
No, I just said it. I also ran out of breath there.
You said an hour and 6 minutes ago.
Okay, cool. I suppose I did. But this is episode 128 of Those Damn Ross Kids.
My name is Chris.
My name is Cole. And we're here to entertain your asses. It's a comedy podcast, you fools.
It's on the internet.
Yeah. Most podcasts are, unless you're one of our two male subscribers, by which I mean dudes, because we're big with the ladies. Well, with all of our jokes about vaginas, I guess.
Email Cole for transcripts.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I wasn't doing anything with those 3 hours. Have you ever had to transcribe something?
No.
Or is this a particularly notable pain in that only I have experienced it?
The only thing that I've ever transcribed were the help calls from the SS Minnow.
But that was before you could read or were extant, so that's why they never got any help. Yeah, so was Gilligan's Island a terrible show?
No. It ran for like 6 or 7 seasons, so no.
It ran for a really long time. And those weren't like 13 episode seasons like we have now.
No, those were
like 26 episode seasons.
Like 53 weeks a year they had a show.
I know, right? Like even on Christmas, it was a real problem.
Christmas on the island.
Yeah. No, I mean, the decorations were all real shitty. So what I would like, so I recognize that Gilligan's Island was not a good show, okay?
No,
like,
it was like, a good show.
Like most of this, like most of my affection and knowledge of this stuff is from watching it when I was real young, you know, and on the TV and Nick at Night, late at night.
It wasn't any more ridiculous than any of the other shit that was on then.
Oh, I mean, like in that era?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, yeah, Bewitched and everything. How crazy is that? In the 1960s, we had a television show on about a coven of witches, and like 20 years later was when the Satanism scare happened. Like,
not only was it about a cove and a witches, they had infiltrated Air Force intelligence.
Yes, they had. No. Okay, so we had witches in the Air Force. No. That you're thinking of genies. And we've been using genie powers for years. Genies are good. What it's those damned witches and Ifrits you have to worry about.
What did her husband
do? No, it was an advertising agency. Larry Tate, Chris, come on. Yeah, Darren was he was an ad man.
Really?
Yeah, no, he would come home and have his like martini. You know, she'd be there with a martini waiting for him with her beautiful levitating daughter, you know? Like, come on.
Matilda?
No. I believe Tabitha?
Beatrice?
Yeah, no, the Sabrina. I think Sabrina. No, Sabrina was that was Melissa Joan Hart.
She was a teenage witch.
She was, huh?
Hmm.
Yeah, whatever happened to her? She doing like Hallmark movies now?
Probably.
Yeah, no, that's where they all go.
She's counting Weight Watchers points.
Yeah, her and Chachi, right?
No.
He died in a speedboat accident, didn't he?
Chachi?
Yeah. No, it was a cigarette boat. He was running guns from Colombia.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, he got mixed up in some real weird shit.
Yeah.
It was like Confessions of a Dangerous Mind up in that piece.
McGruff knew, had some shit on him.
Oh, definitely. He was making him dance like a puppet. No, he was running pills. He was running prescription drugs in the early 1900s, in the early 1990s.
In early '01.
Yeah, I know, right? He got popped by Homeland Security. They made him flip his cigarette boat. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, no, that's why they did the Miami Vice reboot, actually. Mm. So, yeah, in honor of him, because he was a production assistant at that place, way back at that studio.
Why wasn't Don Knotts ever like the president of or like the security officer at like a retirement home?
Oh, like so, kind of like how Andy Griffith retired and changed his name to Matlock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Don Knotts is there and he's like, oh, you should stop having sex, because you know that's what they do, right?
At retirement homes,
yeah, they spread VD like crazy. Yeah, dry flaky VD. I think that's a great show.
It reminds me of WW2.
No, definitely, like just solving old Don Knotts in like a parallel. Okay, it'd be a crossover. It'd like be a crossover with Matlock. Okay. So Matlock is out there, you know, charging country crimes, right? You know, trying those. And Barney is, you know, the next town over. And he's the administrator of security at a maximum security old folks home. Like maybe for some old folks who used to have a real wild streak and like they have to wear bracelets so they can't get out. But, you know, he's there and they all mean well and they have wacky misadventures. Chris, I think that you stumbled on gold. Let's call Don Knotts right now.
I always wanted to have a seance.
I'm sorry, what?
A seance.
Why would we do that? Does Don Knotts know somebody who's dead who would be helpful?
No, Don Knotts is dead as disco.
No, Don Knotts isn't dead.
Oh, Don Knotts died like 20 years ago.
The Incredible Mr. Limpet?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, he really did. He was trying to draw a cartoon underwater and drown.
Huh. Okay, well, you know, plan B.
No, Don Knotts is dead. He's dead as shit.
Okay, plan B, you know, we can get his good friend, the dad from A Christmas Story. There we go. We're good.
He's dead, too.
Come on. No, we can't have two at the same time. I'm sorry. I can't.
Don Knotts died like 8 years ago.
Huh. That seems like something I would have heard about. You know what? I can't accept that.
I found out Don Knotts died on MySpace.
Huh. What a perfect way to encapsulate a time and place. Okay, so Don Knotts dead like 2 decades ago, yet just like today, essentially, Sid Caesar and Shirley Temple die. Two people who I was like positive were dead in the 70s.
Two people that I'm sure acted during the Civil War.
Yeah, like they were carried
110%
around.
110% sure.
Yeah, they were in the like the Union version of the USO. Well, I guess Sid Caesar was in the South. But
just that everybody on Christmas Day put down their long rifles and Grant and Lee shared a footlocker and watched Shirley Temple sing.
Yeah, watch Shirley Temple do the can-can dance and play the flute.
Ba-na-na-na-na.
Dearest Meredith, although we struggle brother against brother in this in the very beating heart of Dixie, we must take solace that Shirley Temple came and danced the can-can and gave us beverages, but we couldn't get fucked up on them because there was no booze. Oh, man. Yeah, no. That's just crazy that, like, Sid Caesar outlived Don Knotts. There's no justice in this world. Mr. Roper? No, he wasn't Mr. Roper. He was Mr. Furley. He was Mr. Furley. So what I would like to see, since we're pitching ideas, is a gritty reimagining of Gilligan's Island. Not like Lost or anything, like none of that stupid supernatural horse shit. But I want to see, like, you know, like, you know, maybe Thurston Howell is like a painkiller addict, and you, like, you know, like there's an episode where they have to, you know, lock him in a hut because he's coming down because he can't get a fix. You know, he's got the withdrawals.
Hey, little buddy, keep the junk away from Mr. Howell.
Is he the moose out front? Is this Wally Moose?
The moose out front should have told Mr. Howell to stay off the junk.
Yeah, I know. The moose out front should have told them.
Who was the dad?
Who was the dad on what?
On Christmas Story.
Christmas Story? I mean, it'd be real easy to find out.
The old man?
Oh, yeah, the old man. He never had a name.
Darren McGavin.
Yeah, no, he was a noted character actor. He was like doing movies with like Gregory Peck and stuff. He was doing Sam Peckinpah movies with Gregory Peck.
No shit.
Yeah.
He died like 7 days after Don Knotts.
Oh, that can't be.
Back in '06.
Huh.
83 years old.
Yeah. Lived a long, full life. Yeah.
He did stuff.
There's a whole class of movies, like, from the 1940s that, you know, like, not quite Bridge Over the River Kwai, but, like, vaguely war-themed movies that, like, maybe a grandpa would watch.
he was on the commish.
What do you mean?
He was on the commish.
Okay. Like, which, okay. There was a show called The Commish?
Yeah. You remember that?
I'm only familiar with its Cooking Network take off The Knish. Ghoul. Speaking of Sid Caesar. Yeah, but I'm looking at like the Great Sioux Massacre. Like, just there was a whole genre of movies about frontiersmen. Which I don't know. I kind of feel like that is an area of like, you know, domain knowledge that I am sorely lacking in. But
I think The Christmas Story should have been from like the 50s. But it's not.
No, it's a period movie.
I know, but it just seems so much older.
Oh yeah, because it's slow. It's really slow paced.
Yeah. What's it based on?
The Christmas Story?
Yeah.
It's based on In God We Trust, All Others Pay in Cash. You should know that.
No, I don't know that.
No, it was a bunch of short stories and like essays.
I've never heard those words put together.
No, it's written by Gene Shepard, like noted essayist, talking about him growing up in the early 1940s.
Oh, yeah. He was Ralphie's voice.
No, I think, wait, was he?
Yeah, as the adult voice of Ralphie.
Was it Gene?
Gene Shepard, yeah.
Huh. Okay, cool.
He was a veteran of the Army Signals Corps.
No, you know what? I thought that, here's what I was thinking of. I was about ready to say, wait a minute, wasn't that Daniel Stern? But no, he was the voice of Kevin from the Happy Days. Not the Happy Days, the Wonder Years. Fuck.
Kevin was on the Happy Days?
Yeah, no, it was a very early cameo by Fred Savage.
Fred Savage's sonogram?
Yeah. It was back up there. He got an extra credit. He was paid scale in the womb because they used his sonogram in the background of a shot. So when I was working on As the World Turns, interning on As the World Turns, the soap opera, they needed a photograph of somebody for like a casting call kind of thing, like a scene, and I was this close to having my image on screen, for which I would have been paid like a nominal fee. That's weird, right?
A phenomenal fee?
A nominal fee. Like, you know, maybe like $50 every time it aired, which would probably be like two times.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. So yeah, that's yeah. Almost a thing that happened, but it fell through, possibly because I am horrifically ugly. So not telegenic would be the way to put it. So,
well, it was before HD. You need 16:9 for those years.
Jeez. Yeah. So I don't know. A lot of old television shows out there. And then I just stopped watching TV altogether. Except for Trailer Park Boys. That's a good show. But I don't know. We tell stories here when we're not talking about those things.
In 1992, Don Knotts was 14 years from death.
Okay.
In 1992, Billy Ray Cyrus released the country hit Achy Breaky Heart.
Yeah.
Today, in 2014, the video for Achy Breaky 2 involving Larry King, nearly nude aliens, twerking, and of course, Billy Ray Cyrus singing the familiar chorus of his song. Rapper Buck 22 is also involved, performing lyrics like "Miley keeps twerking, Daddy's song is working. Now Billy sing that crazy hook again." Turns out Buck 22 approached Billy Ray Cyrus and asked if he minded if he took a crack at remaking "Achy Breaky Heart." Billy Ray Cyrus said, "Well,
I reckon.
Lots of people have tried already, but go for it."
Lots of people have tried. Like it's the Matterhorn.
Buck 22 says, "Billy Ray didn't have a clue that I had already gone into the lab and cooked up a demo of what I thought would be a fun hip-hop styled version, which at the time only had a sample from the original of his voice."
Okay, so by lab he means his white iBook.
And I think he has more resources than that, because Buck 22 is the son of Dionne Warwick.
Oh, okay.
Huh. And jazz drummer Billy Elliot.
Huh.
Yep.
That's pretty funny, actually. I was just thinking about Dionne Warwick for some reason. I don't know. But
wasn't she psychic?
No, I think that you're thinking of Miss Cleo.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm looking up who Dionne Warwick
is. I'm sure Dionne Warwick was psychic.
Yeah,
or no. She thought she was.
Yeah, no, she was a singer and actress. There we go.
Famous psychic.
Really?
Did you know that that Sylvia Brown was Sylvester Stallone's godmother?
Who's what?
That lady, the psychic lady.
Oh, okay. Huh. I didn't know that. Is that does that have a bearing on anything? Was she like, "You must do Cliffhanger. John Lithgow will be a great villain." Yeah. So when you said like little did he know he had already been cooking something up, I thought that you were referring to Billy Ray Cyrus like being in the lab, and by the lab I mean a white iBook and GarageBand. Trying to
What's
cook
a
up
white iBook.
Oh, I'm just trying to refer to a like crappy laptop that would have GarageBand on it. You know, as you do.
You lost me. Maybe some of the listeners know.
Yeah, maybe. Like I'm just trying to refer to like an out of date piece of hardware. Like I just can't crack this nut. Maybe an HD remake. Just like he's got his whole beautiful mind wall like up there, just trying to connect stuff, you know, connecting from country to hip hop ? Just whiteboards, sleepless nights, pacing back and forth.
Like a steam belt drive lathe?
What?
Out of date hardware.
Okay. Jeez. Like they would have used to make a table leg in the 1920s?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
During the Christmas story.
It's really weird that I knew what a lathe was, I guess.
You didn't even go to the Henry Ford Museum.
No? Was that good? Was that up in Detroit?
It's good news, yeah. It's good stuff.
Huh.
Very nice.
I feel like you've been to a lot of museums recently.
I've been binging.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go to a town, you walk into the nearest saloon and ask, "What you got in the way of museums around these parts?" And then you move on to the next town in your next adventure.
Then you go to the hospital and then go to the next saloon.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You ain't from around here, are you?
You wouldn't be talking about museums. Hmm. I don't even know. But, like, okay, so I just. All that I can think of is that there is just such a deficit in this world.
We don't have no museums. We got a memorial to all the people who died from eating the Subway chicken enchilada Frito infused sandwich.
Enchilada Frito infused sandwich? They don't know how to pronounce A's?
Yeah, I guess so.
Do they know how to pronounce D's?
Limited time only. All chip-related trademarks are owned by Frito-Lay North America.
Is that a thing? Like they're putting Fritos
Frito infused chicken enchilada flatbread sub from Subway.
Okay, so here's the thing: because all Fritos taste like
black olives.
All Fritos taste like is salt and grease.
Well, of course.
So is it just to add texture? So when they say infuse, like what I think of is they are harnessing some kind of essence, right? And they are putting it into something else. So you infuse vodka with cucumber by taking cucumber essence and putting it into vodka, right?
Frito was the name of a Mexican.
I think Frito.
Pretty sure.
Words of wisdom from Chris. Frito was the name of a Mexican. No, yeah. I think you're thinking of Frito Kahlo.
It's the essence of his ball sweat.
I guess. Yeah, I guess Fritos would taste like ball sweat, wouldn't they?
They kind of do.
Yeah. No, so like, okay, I can understand the Cool Ranch Dorito taco or whatever. And there's a place downtown here in Cincinnati that makes grilled cheese sandwiches. Then they put, like, if you want, they can put the local barbecue chip, Grippo's, on it. And it tastes pretty good because it tastes like barbecue chip. However, like, I think even the texture of a Frito is pretty gross. So if they're just using the Frito as like this crouton to add like some crunchiness and crispiness and saltiness, that just seems ill-advised all around.
It's nature's hard candy,
I suppose. I just feel like Fritos are, you know, a substrate for something else.
Like, they're not big enough to dip, nor are they uniformly formed.
No. So you can't pretend that they're...
Unless you get the scoops.
Yeah. In which case, you know, bottoms up, I guess.
I was on the toilet all day.
Yeah. They do make you poop, don't they?
I got a bad case of the scoops.
Oh, man. Chris, if you eat enough Fritos, your heart's going to give out. But never fear, because there is something on the way. Okay.
Okay.
So.
Monkey hearts.
No. Chris, you know how I say that everything in this world is just covered in piss?
It's been a while, but yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't always say it when I'm on, you know, when I'm on air, but I just generally remind people, hey, when you're at that buffet, you're probably fishing that overcooked piece of meat out of a lukewarm, vat of sneeze water and piss, right?
Sneeze water, otherwise known as phlegm.
Well, you know, it's funnier when you say sneeze water. But what would you say if I told you that British scientists have manufactured an artificial heart that will power a robot that uses piss instead of blood?
Come again?
Okay. It is an artificial heart that has some weird little micro... things going on inside of it. Weird little micro things. The heart is fabricated using a 3D printer, and it's a battery that has a bunch of like little bacteria and microorganisms that devour the urine, creating a voltaic capacity that charges up to 3.5 volts that will make the heart pump 33 times under just 2 milliliters of your piss, right? So think like a dropper, right? Like you take an eyedropper, you put it into your little vial of pee, you pull it out, 2 drops will make this heart beat 33 times. So they're talking
23.
About 33.
Oh, I thought you said 23. I'm
nope,
sorry.
I said 33. It's cool. Don't correct me.
Yeah, I sorry.
That's all right. No. So they imagine these tiny little pee-powered bots running around doing little chores, and you know what happens when they need to refill? They just sidle up to a urinal and empty the tank into themselves. The stinkiest, grossest little robots.
And just like, so do you have a catheter running into your heart?
You know what? I think that I I think that it is just a way. Okay, so if it was applied to humans, what they would do is just, yeah, catheter running up to your chest cavity. I think that's how RoboCop was powered, right?
It reminds me of that joke where the girl brings a guy to home to meet her parents, and he's got piercings all over, and then he's got a chain running from his ear to his nose, and the chain running from his nose to his lip, and his lip to his dick. And he sneezed and he tore himself apart. It's just like, if we're just constantly running tubes out of one place and running them into another, what happens in a car accident?
No, I think that you get this after you have a car accident, Chris. I think that there has to be some kind of traumatizing event, or maybe, you know, in this dystopian post-human future, there is a coming-of-age ritual where, you know, they have an opportunity to gut you apart and improve you, right? So they put you under the knife, they give you robot legs, robot arms, laser eyes, and they hook your bladder up to your heart to power it all. That's how RoboCop happened.
So what you're telling me is that pretty soon we're going to have food court lifeguards that are just going to be constantly chugging big gulps, waiting to pee into old people during mall walking.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, we're probably like maybe 6 months from that happening, Chris.
I wrote your name on the ground and I pissed on it.
I pissed it away.
In the name of the Father.
Yeah. So do you want to know who gave them the money for this?
Probably McDonald's.
No, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Oh my God.
They're out there
trying to run a clock on a potato.
They're out there. Think about this. Bill and Melinda Gates are trying to eradicate mosquitoes
and juggling
and replace all of us with piss robots. Bill, you gave us Windows 98, which was okay, I guess, but I think it's time for you to stop.
Have a heart, Bill.
Piss. Have a urine-powered heart.
Oh my God. What? Quality control, Cole.
Quality control?
Yep. Something we don't think about very often.
Not here.
No, not us. Phoenix, Arizona mother bought two mattresses from a company called Mattresses 101. They appeared to be new, complete with plastic wrappers. 2.5 months after buying them, she found a bed bug. She called an exterminator and noticed the mattresses were extremely heavy, so he ripped one of them open and found another mattress inside. The one inside, ridden with bed bugs. They were sewing new covers on old mattresses.
This'll do it. It's not like they live in these things.
Yeah.
Consumer
beware.
There may be a mattress inside your mattress so you can sleep while you sleep. Also, get this thing out of my house. My house is ruined. It might as well be haunted now. Oh, God, why? Stop it. Burn it down.
The only thing you can use it for now is meth manufacturing.
Yeah, exactly. And even then, you know, they're going to have to build a tent inside there just to be safe.
But what else could you sell like that?
I don't know. Like, I feel like we hear this all the time, like just these shortcuts that are done. So it's Mattress 101, so obviously they're inexperienced, right?
Oh, maybe they know the way to quick profits.
Well, yeah, you take mattresses that have been tossed aside on college campuses.
But yeah, man, that's Mattress 101.
You just sew around it, yeah. No, definitely. Exactly. Yeah. That was my favorite time of year, I think. So, like, let's say September and then June, really fun living by a college campus, because when you go out on a walk, you know, you have all these, you know, shithead kids moving out of their moving out of their houses, and they'll put all that furniture out on the side, and then you walk by it, you know, you go to where you're going to go, and by the time you come back, maybe let's say 20 minutes later, it's gone. So somebody has taken this vector, this outbreak monkey, this Dustin Hoffman of a mattress, of a couch, and so, and spread the vector, right?
It's outbreak of an ottoman.
Yeah. It's the Ottoman Empire, by which I mean the colony of head termites that you've brought into your home. Ugh. That's pretty brazen, though. So, like, what's the recourse there?
The company denies any knowledge. Hmm. No recourse.
It was one rogue operator, right?
Right.
No, but, like, seriously, if you get bed bugs, you might as well just burn your house down.
He was clearly bringing in his own mattresses after hours.
Oh, yeah. No, he was slinging a little stuffing on the side. Yeah.
Be careful, kids.
Yeah, no, buyer beware, right? Check for mattresses inside your mattress.
NSFH, man.
Not safe for the home. Is that what that refers to?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Chris, we don't talk about studies that often here. That's a lie. We talk about them a lot. Have you ever felt like there's a difference between you in the afternoon and you in the morning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Do you feel like, you know, you're like in the morning, you know, like I know for me, I probably peak in terms of like being a human being between, let's say, 9:30 a.m. and maybe 12:30 p.m. Like that is where I'm my most effective as a human being, right?
Yeah.
How about you?
I operate at a reasonable volume from the hours of 8 to 11.
Okay. and then after that, like your expectations of yourself are diminished, right?
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, do you feel that you are less moral, like the further a day goes along?
Oh yeah. Like give me an hour and I'll do anything.
Yeah. You'll do anything to get rid of this mattress.
Coming up on 11 o'clock.
Yeah. So there's a reason for that, or at least there is now scientific proof that this is something that happens, that as we proceed throughout the day, there is kind of this willpower that is depleted, that manifests itself in kind of more self-centered and less forward-thinking, you know, thought, right? So okay. Marianne Kochacki, and Isaac Smith of Harvard University, they gathered up a bunch of students and they put them in and they said, all right, you're going to count these dots. You know, you have to press one button to say, are there more dots on the left? You're going to press another button to say, are there more buttons on the right? All right.
Okay.
So, and what they said, what they said was when you get it right, when you identify which side has more dots on it, then you are going to be given a small reward. That was the control group. The rewards were equal, right?
Yes.
The experimental group was told that no matter what, if you press the one on the right side, you're going to get more money. So if you wouldn't have gotten money for doing it, you're still going to get something. And if you if there are more dots on the right and you press it, you're going to get more. And what they found was when they tested people, they in the experimental group, they lied more about which side had more dots in the afternoon than in the morning. So what that says is there is actually like just basis for this. So it was like 62 undergrads, and yeah, it was people from Harvard, so they were probably already going to become sociopath wolves of Wall Street anyway. But yeah. Our message is simple yet important, the authors of the study write. The morning morality effect has noticeable implications for individuals and organizations, and it suggests that morally relevant tasks should be deliberately ordered throughout the day. Okay?
Okay.
Similar things have to do with like the choices that we make. So, you know, the whole thing, like there's a certain, you know, there's a part of us that when we're putting movies in our Netflix queue, like when people still got DVDs from Netflix, hold up for a second, they would put in like a Werner Herzog documentary. But when the time came, they would just watch Blank Check over and over again. Right. Right.
I still haven't returned it.
I know. I think one time I kept the Netflix DVD for about 8 months. Yeah, that's when I canceled the service.
Richie Rich
was the superior movie, you know, despite the aging Macaulay Culkin. But like the same thing happened. So they ran another experiment that found that people in the morning would be more likely to choose the New York Review of Books, as opposed to people in the afternoon chose People Magazine. 60% of the volunteers in the afternoon sessions chose the People Magazine, and in the morning, just 40% of them chose People. So, like, it is a crazy swing. Right. So future you always hates past you, and like afternoon you is can like just tells morning you to go fuck off. And then the next morning you tells the previous day's afternoon you to, you know, go fuck off. I think that
when,
just like,
when do you read people?
Well, you know, in between when you're telling you in the afternoon.
Oh, I spend
did
my
you listen? Evenings. Yeah, no. You have to find
ain't
out.
Listening?
No, you have to find out who's sexy. How would I know who's sexy, Chris?
People?
Right. It's not that hard. It's not that hard.
Yeah. I heard that.
It's fascinating that there are multiple us's and not like in that doppelganger way. I don't think I believe in doppelgangers anymore.
Oh, there's work you, there's parent you, there's.
Oh yeah, like but I mean like even aside from like
dark red, time like, you,
dark time
you. Prostitute. I'm trying to read and talk. It's not
yeah,
working.
Yeah, no, it's backfiring on you pretty bad.
There's an article on people how to keep it tight, but yeah,
yeah, but yeah, I mean, just even beyond like changing registers, which we all do all the time, right? Like just the idea that there is this finite amount of willpower that you just run out of by the time like 2 o'clock rolls around most of the
yeah.
time, right?
Well, I'd like to posit this, okay?
Pause it. Go on.
Okay. Just letting you be done with that. As the day goes on, you feel like your exposure to risk is limited by the fact that the day is going to end with sleep. So in the morning, a decision has less time to affect you than, say, a decision made at 5 in the evening or 10 o'clock at night. Knowing that that day is going to draw to a conclusion, the opportunity for that to affect you, that negative or that poor decision to affect you, the length that you're going to have to deal with those consequences for that particular day get to be less and less.
Oh, so you're thinking like, I'm going to, I would be less prone to buying this stupid thing on Amazon, you know, in the morning. Like if it's 10 o'clock, I'm going to hit accept on that transaction just because I'm just going to go to bed. It's not going to be a thing. Whereas if I do it in the morning, then I have until 5 p.m. when it ships to say like, no.
Yeah,
so like,
you
like,
that,
like
yeah,
you're
yeah,
resetting,
yeah,
like, yeah, it's like, how long do I have to deal with the immediate repercussions of this?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, am
like,
I going
oh, well,
to make
buy
this
that at 10 in the morning, then, oh, I have to work extra hard today in order to pay for that.
Yeah.
But I can work extra hard tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
or I can pray harder tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like you can always make up, you have a whole day tomorrow to make up for the poor decision you're making today.
So is it just that like the notion of sleep is such a hard reset that we view each day as like this compartmentalized thing where we're watching the fuse burn from one end to the other, and the closer it gets to the end, the more we realize, oh, the dynamite's probably on the other side of that wall.
Yeah, people don't start diets at the buffet, you know.
No, they don't. They you know, they fish it out of sneeze water. They just go. Yeah. No, you're not going to eat a foot long meatball sub at like, you know, 10 a.m. because that's going to ruin your entire day. You're going to eat it at 10 p.m. like a gentleman.
You could get it at 10 and then eat it for lunch.
I suppose.
But it'd be horrible.
Yeah, no, it'd be pretty bad.
Soggy paper wrapper.
Blech. From your Subway with your plastic bread.
Reconstituted with crushed Fritos.
Blech. To give you just some kind of notion of texture. Trust me, it's either put Fritos on this sandwich or burn myself with cigarettes. Either way, I'm going to feel something.
The nobility of a crushed Mexican hero.
I think Frito was a Mexican dude. No, Frito was a character in an Idiocracy. Although I think that might have been a riff. I can't tell if that was a comedy or not. Oh, man. But yeah, there are different us's.
There are different us's. Some of us's do different things. We do different things for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us hold signs on the side of the road saying total liquidation.
Discount mattresses.
Discount double mattress special. Some of us are hired by gun shops in Texas to bring some attention to the promotion that they're running. Like a teenager who was hired by a gun shop in Texas to dress up in a banana costume and stand by the road with an AK-47.
Okay.
Police briefly detained an 18-year-old after fielding calls from concerned citizens who saw a banana holding an automatic rifle. The rifle had a drum magazine attached with at least a 50-round capacity.
Jesus.
He had a Russian Tommy gun.
Well, I mean, you want them to see it. Like, you know, you've got a banana clip, depending on where it's, you know, depending on the angle that you're holding it at, they're not going to recognize that at all. Put a drum on there, that catches the eye.
His name is Banana Cliff.
is that the mascot name?
No, I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Be a good one, though.
Yeah, it would be pretty good.
Yeah, huh. He had the rifle across his back with the barrel pointing towards the ground and carried a sign with an arrow pointing to the store.
A crosshair pointing towards the store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So how many calls do you think it took for the police officers to realize it wasn't a prank? That it wasn't just like, you know, maybe like four or five people calling at random to be like, you know, to be funny with them.
This banana's got a gun. There was a banana with a gun.
There was a banana with a gun, and we had to stop.
I think that's a song lyric, isn't it? There's a banana with a gun.
It might be an Aerosmith song.
Telling me.
I gotta beware. Stop, listen. What's that sound? Yeah, no. Did you know Neil Young play the guitar on that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, no. Neil Young on Buffalo Springfield's For What It's Worth. Ding, ding. That was all him.
I bet you he could really, really play the old Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's going to have to.
In like the future biopic where his story doesn't end in that really sad way.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Neil Young's got to be what, like 70 now?
Where he uses the Winchester fortune to build a staircase to the moon.
Yep. I mean, it couldn't be any weirder than Human Highway. Five people got that reference.
I didn't.
Nope. It was just a bizarre movie that...
Oh, I'm getting sleepy.
You are?
Oh. Huh.
That's fine.
It's terrible.
Huh? No, I've been sleepy all day. It's been a real shitty day. But we soldier on.
I feel like I'm just drained. I feel like I'm like 3 seconds from a bad decision.
Yeah? Well, what would your bad decision be?
Oh, God. Probably changing my Facebook gender to gender fluid.
So, I wasn't sure if I wanted to bring this story on. Because I saw it. And I think it's kind of cool. Because, like, you know, there is growing recognition that, you know, there are just other identities that you can have besides
we are not a sum of
just
our
the
parts.
One or two. Yeah, no, I mean, just kind of like it's gender is kind of just like a social construct, just a social role. I totally.
Is Blade Runner one of them?
Well, no. Okay, so Blade Runner was a position. Like, that was somebody in the police force sent after replicants to make sure none of them came back from the colonies.
No,
what you're referring to is
Blade Runner.
No, no. What you're referring to is a replicant. Am I a replicant?
No. I want to know if the gender on Facebook can be selected as Blade Runner.
Maybe. I think that, okay, so just like you can put it's complicated for a relationship. I think that once you put that in, it's pretty cool because you can like say what you are and you can select which pronoun you want, which, you know, marginalizes fewer people. It doesn't really matter like what you identify as on Facebook. Like, so, you know, yeah, I don't even know. I feel like this is a minefield because like as a cisgendered straight white male, I've got an awful lot of privilege. However, I will say that the degree to which, like, a lot of people, like, say, on Tumblr, like, subdivide that stuff is a little goofy. So, like, whereas I understand that it's pretty cool that somebody can identify themselves as, you know, like genderqueer, or, you know, like just gender fluid, any of those kind of things. Like, just the amount of, like, from reading posts and stuff and just kind of, like, looking at that thing from afar as a studier of the human condition on the internet, I understand all of the weird politics and kind of, like, I'm a special snowflake that goes into that side of it. So there are two sides of this for me, which are, I want to be a progressive person who totally understands everybody's right to identify themselves as whatever they want. So if they want to be a Blade Runner, I am totally cool with that. Whatever makes you happy, because there is so little in this world that makes you feel at one or right or correct, right? And doubly so if you don't match some kind of norm that everybody expects you to. Okay, I'm cognizant of that. My better angel tells me that is the person that I should and most of the time that should be and most of the time am. However, when it gets down into, like, I am a, like, trans ethnic, like, I was born as a human, but I'm actually a plane in a human's body, like, then it starts getting a little goofy. So
why can't you just say I'm a male or I'm a female and then leave a blank for, like, I don't know, maybe 300 characters,
like modifiers
to describe your fetish?
Okay,
that's what this all boils down to.
I don't, like, know that it boils down into fetish. A bunch of it gets down into identity.
Like, I'm a heterosexual male who likes to be clip flopped.
Can you describe clip flopping in a way that won't make me vomit?
Treat me like a horse, but, you know, when things get worn, you hot glue new flip flops to me.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
I'm happy we ended that episode before we offended anybody. Oh, man.
Why do you know of a listener who would be an androgynous Blade Runner?
Chris, we have, like, thousands of people who listen. So,
no, don't.
Like across the network, we have hundreds of people who listen to this. You know? Like, so I guess what I'm saying is that there is a statistically, like, non-trivial chance that somebody listening to this could possibly be hurt by something that we say, when we wouldn't have any problem with them personally, or even, like, the majority of other people who identified with them that way. And I'm totally, like, happy making fun of, like, bronies or whatever, because, like, to a certain extent, that's a choice. But, like, with a lot of that stuff, it's, like, totally not. So that's where I get kind of, like, bummed out by making fun of it. So it's funny notionally, but I want people to know that even though we bring it up, that even though I personally bring it up on a comedy podcast, it's kind of like, I would feel real shitty if I ruined your day by talking about it.
What this ad choices at the end of websites, that's like learning you, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, this show's research, mm-hmm, pre-pro, if you will, boils down to these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 subjects within a single ad choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they read as follows. Number 1, scary signs of depression. Number 2, stunning Miley Cyrus pics. Number 3, best depression device. Number 4, free cat food coupons. Number 5, Obamacare poll.
Of course. Yeah, no, it's it's always a little bit funny because you're on, like, just, you're just kind of, like, rolling around. You're just rolling around and you're on Facebook and you realize that the ads that they're putting on there are saying something about you that maybe you didn't know about yourself. So I'm looking at my Facebook sidebar right now and I see shop Warby Parker. Because I'm always looking on there for new glasses, right? Because they're cheap enough that you can accessorize with them. It's pretty cool. I see date Korean women, date Japanese women, donate to St. Jude now, TurboTax, Master of Health Informatics at UC. something about UF social media degrees, and then something about Japanese made designer like handmade glasses. And then it's a bunch of like dating sites and stuff. It's real weird. And I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that.
17-minute video. A link to a video of 113 people saying diabetes.
What?
My blood sugar is now 95.
Huh.
Shocking Spanish video. If you do not know Spanish, you will want to see this video immediately.
What? Watch to the end.
Do you have these symptoms? Fatigue, itchy skin and rashes, mouth ulcers, itchy burning eyes, bloating, constipation, or diarrhea?
I get that one a lot.
White-coated tongue.
Huh.
Oh, that's a double ad.
Yeah, I get that ad a lot. I'm not sure why. I think they're like talking about some kind of parasite. I don't know. What's what they say? You may be infected.
It looks like a King of the Hill character.
It does. It's real unnerving. So, Chris, there are things that people can do. There's the huge iTunes, ratings, reviews, like us on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Cole Ross. I don't think you toot, so that doesn't matter too much. And if you want to support the network, don't click on those ads for that weird stuff. Go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, buy a thing, and we get a little percentage of it.
That's how that works.
That's everything. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry America.